Now we come to the study, our lesson tonight in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. And I must say good evening to you out there in Radio Land, the missions, as you're listening to this tape tonight, that God will bless you. And I'm glad that the messages are blessing your heart as I hear from you. And He's blessing us here in the study of His Word. There's nothing like it. There's nothing that will take the place of the Word of God. If you're a Christian, born again by the Spirit of God, there's nothing that can give you hope and that will be a partner, companion to you, like the Word of God, in conducting your life after the manner of the Word. But we're entering into a new chapter tonight, the 6th chapter. We closed out with the 5th chapter last week. And so we're going right on through it as the Lord leads us. I know at times we may stop and think and just wonder a little bit if we ought to just continue as we are. But I feel just led to go on. One chapter after another, then after we get through with Corinthians here, we'll go into something else, another study. I think it's beneficiary to every one of us. Now let's read the 6th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Let's read it in your Bible. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because ye go to law one with another. Why do ye not rather take wrong? Why do ye not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. That's God's word, huh? That's so. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly and the belly for meats. But God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. God had both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by His own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committed fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own? Now he's speaking here to believers, those who know the Lord, those who have been born again by the Spirit of God, whom the Spirit of Christ dwelleth in. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? How precious, how glorious to think that God dwells in me. And therefore, the Apostle Paul continually sets down the line here where how we ought to take care of that body, of our bodies, where God dwells. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, I think I went over a little bit of the analysis last week, but just let me repeat it for emphasis' sake here, and then we'll go into our study. Now, as we've studied from the beginning, the first chapter, the Apostle Paul laying down great truths here, instructions for the church. As we've seen as we went along, about the church itself, the body of Christ, how they should deal one with another, and how there should be order in the church of the living God. And in this particular chapter here, we are forbidden to go to law, to the courts of the land, within the church itself here. We are forbidden to go to courts, to the law of this land. Now we'll define those different things here as we go along, to show you what the apostle Paul means and how we should straighten up our troubles and everything among ourselves. Now, I notice some things that have to go to the worldly courts, and it has to be done in many respects. But the main design of this chapter here, this sixth chapter, is to reprove the Corinthians for the practice of going to law before heathen courts or magistrates instead of settling their difference among themselves. Paul therefore reproves this practice and shows them that their differences should be settled among themselves. We just read that from verses 1 through 7. And then verses 8 through 11, the apostle reminds them of the instances where they practiced fraud and oppressed each other. Now, that was wholly inconsistent with the hope of heaven and the nature of Christianity. And then in verses 12 through 20, he cautions them against the abuse of their liberty and urges them to flee fornication by various arguments, as we're going to discuss, beginning tonight with the first and the second, and probably the third verses. It just depends how far we go. We can go here tonight. Our time slips by us. But look at the first verse of this chapter here in 1 Corinthians, the sixth chapter. Dare any of you, the apostle begins, dare any of you. Now, this is the instruction for the church today. Dare any of you, having a matter against one another, to go to law before the unjust and not before the saints. Now, in the previous chapter, the Apostle Paul had directed them to punish heinous sins among themselves. And we brought out how that should be taken care of. And by church censors. Now here he directs them to determine controversies with one another by church counsel and advice. See, we're a family here. Family is supposed to be united. And if you're saved, we are united. United in Christ, in love, in the same spirit. As we go along, we'll see that. The one hope, the one faith. And so we're one big family here, separated from the world. And we'll deal properly with things within the church, take care of things within the church itself, and apart from the world. Now, the apostle begins, dare any of you. Now, the word dare here implies that it was inconsistent with the teachings of God's word, of true religion, and improper. How dare you? The apostle seemed to have spoken with a direct outburst of indignation at the unworthy conduct manifested within this church. You see, they were bringing one another to courts, to the worldly courts. And because of things that happened among them, maybe the selling of property, money, and different things. And so they begin, they were taking their brethren out to worldly courts to settle their disputes. But the Apostle Paul said that was wrong. That's inconsistent with the teachings of religion, of true religion. And he's rebuking them along that line. As if to say, how can you have the heart to do that which is a direct violation of all the principles of religion? How can you do such a thing? How can you carry your brethren or your sister, one whom Christ died for, and how can you take them out to a worldly court and let the courts decide their fate when that can be settled within your own place? And then later on you find out, he'll say, well, why quarrel over such little things? They're just little insignificant things. Why don't you rather forgive and forget and let the thing ride over instead of being in dispute with your brother or your sister within the congregation? Now, he goes on, he says, dare any of you having a matter? What does the apostle have reference to here? A matter. That means a subject of litigation, which a lawsuit. Now, this is a phrase denoting civil suits, especially in matters of money and possession. Dare any of you, why, having a matter or a subject of litigation, a lawsuit against another brother, against another, or another member of the church, that is a Christian brother, go to law before the unjust. Now, the word unjust refers to the heathens. In Matthew 26:45, they are called sinners. The word unjust here evidently stands opposed to the saints. In the language of the Bible, the unjust are those to whom it is applied as devoid of true righteousness, and therefore as unqualified to administer justice among God's people. And that is so. They don't understand our problems. To try to discuss problems before a court that's full of unjust people, they don't understand spiritual problems, what goes on within the church. It's improper in the first place for the church to bring their troubles to a worldly court. All they can do is listen. Now, I know there have been occasions here where they brought us to court to settle different things because they would not have it any other way. It was more or less forced upon us to go to court. And, of course, in that respect, Paul is not against that. as we're going to see later on. But where there's a unity of the brethren, where there is be somewhat of a fellowship within the church, why cannot we take care of these things? It'll be something if you did something against me, a little thing, and I couldn't settle that thing with you in the church here. And if we couldn't settle it ourselves, we'd get a number of brethren and sisters to gather together and help us to solve this problem. But what would you think if it was an issue that I have to get some settlement or somewhat, and I'll take you out to a worldly court and there and see you defamed there and then see you dishonored in the presence of unjust judges. What in the world you think about me? If I were to drag anybody to court, even as the pastor. Now, and when it has to do within the church, within the assembly, that's what I'm speaking about now. Now, there are many things that probably can come upon individuals in the church from the outside that you will have to go to a worldly court to get it settled. Now, to go through the law before the unjust. Now, Paul does not here condemn those who from necessity have a cause before unbelieving judges, as when a person is summoned to court. Many times you're summoned to court and you have to stand there. Well, Paul is not against that. But what he's speaking of here is those who, of their own accord, bring their brethren to this situation and harass them, as it were, through means of unbelievers, while it is in their power to employ another remedy within the church. On the other hand, the apostle does not mean that the heathen was always unjust in their decisions. Now, we've had some courts to rule in our favor during a period of time since we've been here and throughout this ministry for the years. They have sided in with this church here, and we came out on top in many respects because it was pressed upon us. But let me repeat this again. On the other hand, the apostle does not mean that the heathen was always unjust in their decisions, or that which is fair and just could in no case be hoped from them, but that there were class in that division of the world which was different from the saints and is synonymous, which means of the same character, with unbelievers as opposed to believers. All right, let's go on now. Dare any of you, having a matter against one another, go to law before, before the unjust and not before the saints? Now listen to me tonight. Now you listen. If Christians have disagreements which they are not able to iron out between themselves, if you have disagreements that you cannot iron out between yourselves, all right? Now, what's the proper way to solve this situation? All right? Let them consult their brethren, like I just mentioned, and let them agree to abide by their brethren's judgment, such as they would have to abide by a decision from a worldly court. Then if you look at verse 2, do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Just to think. I didn't know that before God saved me. It was a long time after that I'm going to sit with Christ, the great judge then, and be there with him, and to know I'm going to judge the world with him. Judge unbelievers. Judge the fallen angels. That's God's word. Here it is. Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And like I stated this morning in the message, I'll be there with him and probably have to pronounced judgment against many who heard the truth, who rejected the truth in our time and would not have Christ to rule over them, and who seemingly in this day and time are having their heyday, and they think everything is going their way, and they don't realize everything is going against them. And but just to think that if you do not repent, if you don't repent, I'll stand there with the great judge. I'll be there with him. And so will the whole host of believers. And to judge unbelievers, to judge everyone who rejects the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there I'll be there pronounce sentence with my Lord upon the fallen angels. I'm going to judge the world and judge the fallen angels. The fallen angels that we spoke about here just a few times ago, a few weeks ago on Wednesday night. Just to think that the day is rapidly approaching when we shall judge them. I'm glad I'll be there. Not to be judged, but to judge. Praise God, God judged me here in Christ. I praise Him. And He's given every individual here tonight that opportunity to be judged by Him. Do ye not know? The Apostle Paul reminded that church of Corinth, as well as today, that the saints shall judge the world. And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters among yourselves? Why judge ye one another? Why don't you don't drag them into courts of the land, but solve those problems among yourselves. Do ye not know? Now this refers to something that they and many believers of the day have lost sight of. But the Lord didn't open our hearts and our minds. I would have lost sight of it myself, and so would you. But I praise the Lord. It pays to study God's Word and to meditate and to know that one day I'm going to stand there with my precious Lord as His friend, and then to judge the world. Many in the church of Corinth didn't know that. They were busy fussing among themselves and disputing and causing divisions and things like that, and coveting others' property, and they were quarreling, and they were dragging one another to an open court, a worldly court, and the Apostle Paul got wind of it, and he rebuked them. He said, "You're ignorant of some things, my people down there. Listen to me. Don't you know? Don't you know that the saints are going to judge the world and judge angels? Don't you know that?" Now, this was due to ignorance on their part as well as on the part of many today, that the saints shall judge the world. Now, what is said here about judging the world ought to be traced to the Word of God. We read in Matthew 19:28. If you want to turn there, I'll give you time, chance to turn there in your Bibles. We'll read a scripture or two. And listen to me. And listen to the Word of God in regards to this truth here, that the saints are going to judge the world. They're going to judge angels. Now, they may judge us here, but we'll judge them there. Now, we read in Matthew 19:28, where Christ said, "When the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of His glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Now, I want us to read 2 Timothy, the second chapter. Turn quickly in our Bibles to 2 Timothy, the second chapter, the 11th and 12th verses. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. And then Romans 8:17. Romans 8:17. We preached in Romans this morning, didn't we? And look at Romans 17. All right, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so, that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Now, these scriptures refer to the saints reigning with Christ. Heirs with Christ, joint heirs with him. Now, the scripture gives full proof of our Lord Jesus coming back again to reign for 1,000 years. The Lord willing, after this series, we're bringing over the Voice of Truth broadcast. We hope to go right into the study about what takes place, what's going to take place after or before the tribulation, after the tribulation, the doom of Russia, the man of sin. I believe it's time for it right now. I believe it is. The Lord's been laying those series of messages on our heart of our late pastor to air them in the coming weeks. And I'm looking forward to the study of them and listening to them. But listen, the scriptures give full proof of our Lord Jesus coming back again to reign for 1,000 years. Now this will take place after the tribulation, and then judgment shall return to righteousness, and when he reigns, we shall reign with him 1,000 years. You know, it's going to be wonderful just to think that all rebellion is going to be put down, and he shall reign in righteousness, though a hand of arms of iron, hands of iron. He shall rule this land, this earth, and to know that all the saints will rule with him, reign in righteousness. Now, I got to thinking this week and meditating upon this. I don't know what place the Lord is going to give me, but I'm going to enjoy reigning with him in the place that I shall occupy, whatever it might be. Maybe Brother Messer, he'll still give you a brush and paint, I don't know. And you might be painting a place for the glory of the Lord and maintaining, and Brother Grammer and them, and maintaining the buildings and all, the temples. But you know, I just praise the Lord. Whatever place he gives me, I'm going to praise him. But I'm going to reign with him. Do you know that? Oh, you sit here and you may peel me to pieces and scoff at me and say all manners of things. But just think, one day I'm going to rule with the King. I'm going to rule with him. And then at the final judgment, I'm going to sit there. And he tells us we're going to judge the world and judge angels. I'm looking forward to that reign with him upon this earth, and then all eternity living with him, with my Lord. So the scriptures gives us full proof to that effect, to those truths. Now all power of judging has been handed over to the Son in such a way that he will associate his saints with himself in this honor. Even now the saints judge the world. Now how do you and I judge the world? Listen, saint, how do you and I judge the world? All right. And let me give it to you here. Even now the saints judge the world because their godliness, faith, the fear of the Lord, a clear conscience, and integrity, which means uprightness and honesty of life, will leave the godless without excuse. Now, you think about that. Our lives, the believers' lives today, judge the world. They judge the unbelievers. and it leaves them without excuse. I know my job anywhere. What's gotten over you, Gail? What happened to you? And I'll give my testimony of how the Lord saved me. But they'll not take heed. They'll listen. And right away, I'll become their judge. Now, why isn't it that they do not seek the Lord and cast themselves upon the Lord and come to know the Christ that I know? You see? It'll leave them without excuse. My life is going to leave many an individual here without excuse unless you know the Lord. And you cannot go before the throne of judgment there before our Lord and make excuses. Well, he just didn't do things the way I thought that he should have done them. And I didn't like the way he did this and did that. There'll be no excuse. You see? Now, let me repeat that again. Even now, the saints judge the world. Now, if you're not, then there's something wrong with you. If you're a friend of the world, you're side in with the world, you're not judging the world. I don't mean you have to go around and judge them with your lips and with your tongue, but you can go around just living, and your life condemns them. That's how you judge them. That's how you judge them, just like that. Now listen, your godliness, your holy living judges the world. If you're a believer, your holy living, your righteous living judge the world. We judge the world now. Our faith, our perseverance, our going on. Oh, I praise the Lord for that. The fear of the Lord with a clear conscience, knowing that what you're doing, that God's put approval upon it, and to know that your conscience is clear before man. And your integrity, your uprightness, your honesty of life will leave the godless without excuse. Just as it is said of Noah in Hebrews 11:7, that by his faith he condemned all the men of his time. Now you think about that. Now if your faith doesn't condemn the ungodly sinners today, the men of this world today, there's something wrong with you. But Noah's faith condemned all the men of his time. All right, the apostle continues, and if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? If we are going to reign with Christ, to sit on thrones of judgment with him in the kingdom age, it is foolish to think that we are not fit to judge the smallest things, the smallest matters, things of little importance. Now, the word matters refers to money, property. They had trouble in that church there. Personal reputation. Now, these are such small things when viewed in the light of eternity. Certainly is. Small things. Now, look at verse 3. Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? Now, Paul is here referring to the last day when the apostate angels that we studied in the Jude, as recorded in Jude 6, shall be judged and condemned to an eternal hell. It is the final judgment that is in view here when the Lord Jesus Christ shall sit upon the throne of judgment. And all the redeemed throughout the ages will be associated with him. Now, the natural conclusion from all that has been said, in these first three verses that we just went over here, is this, which adds force to Paul's argument. If we are going to have the honor to sit with the sovereign judge at the last day, and if we are to judge sinful men and evil angels, are we then unfit to judge affairs of this life? Surely, believers ought to be regarded as qualified to discern the nature of justice among men and to settle the unimportant differences which may arise in the church. Now, this should be done within the church and not before a worldly court. Now, these are things speaking pertaining to the church. It's not great preaching. It's instructions. Because we never know when things will happen in the church. But we have here the order laid down by the Apostle Paul, how we should take care of these things within the church itself. And maybe the time, perhaps, I hope it never will, come to where these things will come up when they have to be dealt with. And that we can do it in a brotherly, a sisterly manner. I know the Lord Jesus Christ ruling over us. And certainly they can be ironed out. I know sometimes individuals may have faults. They come to me, they talk it over with me, and we'll try to decide the way out. It usually works. And I think, you know, instead of us believing things and then just accepting those things as such, instead of finding out if things are true, we'd be a lot better off, you know, many of us, because there's so many of us speaking same things that perhaps may not be so. I've been thinking how many in the past that belong to this church, how they believe things and then never going to the party that the reference was to whoever it was, instead of going to the party, sitting down, ironing the situation out, and then abiding by the instructions of God's word. No, they just went along with those individuals who dare bring those accusations against another in the church, in the assembly. Now, I know any time that the Lord works in our midst, you're going to find some within that group who will rise up. It has always been, it always will be. And it's hard to deal with individuals like that. It's hard to talk with them. I know in preaching this morning that message, I went away, and then I wouldn't be surprised if there's not one or two or not past feelings. They can't feel anymore, which means they cannot hear the message no more. And they will continually do the things like they've always done. That's the most tragic thing I've seen happen in here. I've seen it before. You can go to them, you could talk with them, and they just won't even talk. They sneer at you, and it makes you uncomfortable. And we were talking going back home. I said, I wouldn't be surprised if some are not past feelings. Now, what will we mean by past feelings? The Lord turns individuals over to a reprobate mind. In other words, their minds are seared with a hot iron, as it were. And you can never penetrate that mind with a message. Never can. In other words, it reminds you of the instance as spoken of Cain. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. And brother, when you go out from the presence of the Lord, there's no more hope. There is no hope whatsoever. That's why I've been pleading, praying, crying, and doing everything in my power to get you to see what it means to believe the truth, to adhere to the truth, to lay hold the truth, and let God, the Holy Spirit, have His way in your heart, because there comes a time when you don't stop your rebelling, you don't stop your works of harassments, and enduring those things that are not proper within God's work and this sphere here, that I'm telling you, it's a dangerous thing to do, a dangerous state to be in. I cannot reach you. That's why I hesitate to say anything to you. I cannot reach you. I cannot reach you with a message. I try to reach individuals with a message. I know this past Wednesday night, someone told me, said, I didn't hear what you said. I didn't listen. I said, my God. Now the Lord will allow you to do so much. He allowed you to go so far, and that'll be it. And you say, that's enough. That's enough. But my prayer, if there's any prayer in my heart for you at all, is that God will break you and bring you out of that state, that dangerous state that you're in. I'm glad you came tonight. May the blessings of our Lord rest upon each and every individual here and out in radio land. And may you turn to the Lord and you quit your fighting, will you? Quit your fighting. Ask God to take that bitterness out of your heart. I hope that you're not past feelings. I hope not. If you are, there's nothing I can do for you. Nothing that God can do for you. But just leave you alone. And like He said to Judas, He said of Judas, he went to his place. God help us tonight. God have mercy upon us. On every one of us, my prayer in Christ's name. Let's stand. I'm glad you came. Next week we'll begin with that fourth verse. Turn to the Lord while there's time. Our precious Lord, tonight we thank Thee for this lesson. We thank Thee for the instructions. Give us grace to adhere to them, to obey them, to want to have that desire in our heart to make things right. And our Father, we pray for the unrighteous tonight. Oh Lord, lay hold of their hearts by Thy Spirit and break them down at Thy feet. Oh precious Lord, we trust them in Your hands. Do Thy will. For Christ's sake, we ask it. Amen.